Welcome back to State of Belief Radio, everyone. I'm Welton Gaddy. For over 75 years, Religion News Service has been an invaluable resource for objective coverage of religion and its role in our culture and politics. The subject has rarely been as central to the debate as it is today. And as we listen to the language of faith emanate from political podiums, as well as political rhetoric work its way into words spoken from the pulpit, I'd like to take a look at this national convention season as it has gone up to this point, and I'd like to do that with Religion News Service Editor-in-Chief Kevin Ekstrom. I've actually missed Kevin. He's been off for a while, and we've been deprived of his insights. I'm glad he's back. Kevin, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
It's always good to be here.
You have a new child in your house, right?
Actually, I have children. We had twin boys.
Congratulations, I think.
Yeah, ask me at 3 in the morning when I'm doing a bottle feeding, and I'll we'll reassess.
Kevin, we're taping this conversation in advance of the big event at the Republican National Convention, so unfortunately we can't discuss Mitt Romney's acceptance speech yet. But from what we've seen so far in Tampa, how would you characterize the pervasiveness of religious language in the rhetoric this year?
Well, you know, it's all been very, I'd call it cagey, maybe. You know, nobody is using the M word, Mormon, and I think that's probably for fairly specific and deliberate reasons. But what I've noticed is that people are talking about Romney in a way that portrays him as a very faithful person, mm-hmm. as a church-going man, a family man. And I was struck by watching the convention on Wednesday night, I guess it was, mm-hmm. Where both Paul Ryan and Mike Huckabee made a point of saying, Mitt Romney and I go to different churches. But he goes to church, bottom mm-hmm. line. And so there is this attempt to portray him as a devout religious person, but mm-hmm. not a devout religious Mormon necessarily. And that's kind of interesting.
Well, and would you say that's different from the way religious language has been used in the past?
Yes. You know, the last time, if we stick with Republican circles.
For now, let's do that.
The last time, you know, that faith really entered the conversation was with George W. Bush, you know, who is a born-again evangelical, and he would talk in sort of born-again evangelical language. He would mm-hmm. talk about, you know, Jesus as his savior and sort of encountering him on the beach with Billy Graham. He was very sort of specific and direct about it, and there was none of this sort of walking on eggshells when it came to talking about his religious faith. Mm-hmm. So to that degree, it's different. But, you know, this is not an election where religion or religious issues are playing a huge role like they may have in the past. This is a pocketbook election, and people are concerned about jobs and the economy, and that's what they're stressing. But what they're doing with Mitt Romney especially is, you know, he's in many ways kind of a blank slate to a lot of people. He's kind mm-hmm. of mysterious. They don't really know who he is. I mean, they know that he's got a big family and that he's got a lot of money and that he's a Republican. But beyond that, it's kind of an empty sketch. And so they're trying to fill it in, but using sort of generic language that, you know, is actually a little different for Republicans. They've always been very upfront about mm-hmm. religious rhetoric. Mm-hmm. And this year, they're being a little bit more generic.
Well, Kevin, as editor-in-chief of Religion News Service, what are the themes that you see emerging actually from both political parties now in your coverage? And which of those themes do you see as most related to people's religious interests?
Well, I think there's a fascinating debate this year, and we haven't had this before, about what it means to be Catholic or what it means to be a Catholic politician. And, you know, the last time that this came up was really with John Kerry back in 2004, where, you know, there were really questions of whether or not he's a good enough Catholic. Mm-hmm. Was he devout enough? Did he follow the church? now we're having this really interesting debate between Joe Biden on the Democratic side and Paul Ryan on the Republican side about, well, what does it mean to be Catholic, period? And if you're a Ryan sort of Catholic, you're stressing what they call the life issues, abortion and gay marriage and stem cells, and but especially abortion. If you're a Joe Biden Catholic, you're stressing the social justice teachings of the church about poverty and the economy and things like that. And there's the church is really caught in the middle, and which is, in a way, exactly where they want to be, because the Catholic hierarchy has always said that, you know, we don't fit into either political party, and no political party perfectly addresses all of our issues. And here we see it in very stark black and white between the two sides. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of a fascinating debate over not only are you a good enough Catholic, but what kind of Catholic are you? And are you a nuns on the bus sort of Catholic like Joe Biden would be, or are you a March for Life anti-abortion Catholic like Paul Ryan would be?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me push that one just a little bit more, because I've noticed, I know you have, and I know others have as well, the change that has taken place in Paul Ryan since becoming the vice presidential candidate. He seems to me to have moved significantly on some issues that were major points of conviction for him. In fact, he's moved enough that in some election cycles, he would be called a flip-flopper or a little weak on convictions. Is that noticeable enough for him to move toward where the president, if Romney were president, would be, even if it means giving up on some of the things that he was so adamant about when just a member of Congress? Is that noticeable enough to be significant in the press?
Yeah, and what's been interesting is, you know, for a long time, Paul Ryan was kind of a lockstep conservative Republican on social issues, you know, against gay marriage, against abortion, against, you know, government funding of abortion. And, you know, he was a co-sponsor of a bill that would essentially make embryos, give them legal protection as human beings. Very controversial bill. What he's saying now is, well, you know, I signed on to a lot of bills and, you know, I kind of was, you know, voting with the party, and really what matters is what President Romney is going to say, you know, that this is not a President Ryan administration, this is a President Romney administration. And so really, you know, don't pay attention too much on my views or my voting records, because it's the guy at the top that really matters. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been interesting as he sort of tries to not really walk away from some of these issues, but really downplay them. That, mm-hmm. oh, well, it doesn't really matter. It's you know, we're not really – nobody's going to be voting on abortion this year. We're talking about the economy and jobs and economy and jobs and the debt. But, yeah, I mean, he was, you know, a fairly outspoken member of Congress on these things, and now he's – not quite saying that they're not important, but that perhaps they're not as important as other things.
Yeah. I always like it. You specialize in coverage of religion, so that lets me ask you to evaluate the way mainstream media cover issues. How have they been doing this year?
I think they've been good. I think there's, like in the campaign itself, there's a lot of walking on eggshells on the Mormon question. I've been actually fairly surprised at the amount of attention that's been paid to the fact that there are no Protestants on the Republican ticket, that's, you know, somehow indicative of some large shift or some large decline among Protestants. I don't really see it that way. You know, it was really interesting to me that Mike Huckabee, speaking to the convention on Wednesday night, called President Obama the only, quote-unquote, self-professed evangelical in the race. I've never once heard President Obama call himself an evangelical, and he probably, when asked, he would say, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
But there's this attempt, you know, to kind of label people and to try to divine, you know, importance in those labels, and I think it only gets you so far.
Yeah. Well, and you knew this question's coming. Catholic Archbishop Timothy Dolan is the faith leader invited to deliver the closing prayer at both national conventions this year. In his role as head of the U.S. Council of Catholic Bishops, he's been deeply involved in political confrontations with the Obama administration. So how do you see this one?
Well, you know, I think he sort of put himself into a box on this one when he accepted the Republicans' invitation without ever, you know, either exploring the idea of also going to the Democrats or asking to go to the Democrats. You know, what this did, you know, before he agreed to go to both, but when he had just agreed to go to the Republicans, it really did feed into this image and this line that the bishops and the Catholic hierarchy are really just in lockstep with the Republican Party.
Right.
And that was not where the church wants to be. And even, you know, for as vociferous as he is in his disagreements with the Obama administration, you know, Cardinal Dolan is smart enough to know that he doesn't want to be seen as, you know, in the pocket of one party over the other. So I think in a way he almost had no choice but to try to also do the Democrats. And I think the Democrats in a way were sort of pressured into trying to get him just to save their own face. They were under pressure to show that they would want to have him, whether or not he wanted to come, but that the invitation was there. Because they also don't want to be portrayed as being against the Catholic Church or the Catholic hierarchy. So, you know, I think in the end, the fact that he's doing both is probably the smarter move and perhaps diffuses some of the tension around it. Mm-hmm. But I think it seems like anyway that he accepted the one invitation without totally thinking through, well, what do I need to also go to the other one as well?
Yeah. Kevin, two quick questions, and we're almost out of time, so I really need short answers. But what are you going to be watching for at the Democratic National Convention?
You know, this campaign, the 2012 campaign, has been fairly silent on the faith issue and religious outreach on the Democratic side. They're doing it, but they're doing it in a very muted kind of way, especially compared to their, you know, massive outreach that they had in 2008. So I will be listening to see, you know, if that even comes up at all. So far it hasn't. But also, what do they do with the Catholic issue and this fight that they have with the Catholic bishops? You know, how do they walk that line between standing up for what they see as, you know, reproductive rights and access to women's health versus not wanting to be seen as pitting themselves against the largest church in the country?
Yeah.
I would, if I had to guess, they're probably going to just avoid it altogether.
As far as you know, is our preoccupation with politics these days going to cause us to miss any significant religion story that you want people to know about?
Well, I think, you know, the sort of the unspoken story in all of this, the thing that's not really getting attention is we're talking about dollars and budgets and debt, and you know, we throw out, you know, terms of trillions of dollars without ever really stopping to think, okay, well, what does that mean in real terms? What does that mean for the poor? What does it mean for people on welfare or people on Medicaid or whatever? And there's this large macro discussion about federal spending without sort of the micro conversation about what that means in real dollars to real people. And that's an issue that religious groups of all stripes care a tremendous amount about, and we haven't really seen that from either side.
Terrific point. Kevin Ekstrom is editor-in-chief of Religion News Service. You can find terrific secular coverage of religion's role in our world at religionnews.com. Kevin, we missed you while you were gone. I'm glad you're back, and I thank you for taking time to be with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Absolutely. Glad to be back.